The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
The question I think that exists for the Broncos, and they're going through their workout in OTAs, and we'll hear from an assortment of Broncos players tomorrow. And then then it gets going. Then everybody gets going next week, Tyler, which is good. It'll be interesting once you integrate the rookies and the vets. By the way, the Broncos, I don't know if you caught this or not, but they did not sign any of the tryout guys. The dozen or so tryout, lowest. I don't think there's another lower level than the undrafted
the rookie
tryout.
Minicamp invited guys, because we don't have enough bodies to have a training camp unless we bring guys in for a quote-unquote tryout. Yeah, that's a tough spot to be in. Although, you know what?
It happens.
Usually,
every now and then.
It's not abnormal at all. Usually there are two or three guys that get signed to the remainder of the offseason.
To the 90 man. The 90.
Matter of fact, I actually can't even think of a single. I'm sure there were one or two. I can't think of a single guy that made the team as a rookie tryout guy. I'm sure somebody did it over the course of my career. I just can't think of somebody.
I don't blame. I was having this conversation with Kliss. He swears that it does happen and it has happened with the Broncos every now and then, but he couldn't give me a specific name either. We'll have Troy Rank on in about 45 minutes. Boy, you get a gold star, man, because we're just talking about making the 90. We're not talking about forget the 53. We're just talking, are you good enough to get invited to the 90?
Yeah. It's hard. But the Broncos go through that. They had to bring in, who was the quarterback? I forget the quarterback they brought in.
They had to bring
a quarterback just to throw passes because they didn't have a quarterback. I thought that Brett Rypien might go out there for the rookie minicamp because there's weird rules. Like, I actually don't know the specifics of it, but I believe if you were on the practice squad last year, if you don't have enough vested years, like, you can go out there for the rookie minicamp. There were a couple veterans that were out at it, but the Broncos had to bring in a guy just to be an arm to throw at that rookie camp.
Eric Barriere.
There you go.
B-A-R-R-I-E-R-E.
Who dat? I don't know.
He was from Eastern Washington. He was a star there. And he was literally brought in just to throw the football around to a few fellas. And by the way, for him, pretty cool, Tyler. Like, he got all of the attention. He got the quarterback coach. He got the offense coordinator. Everything that would go on in a normal practice. And he was the only one there. He got all that attention for the time that he was out there.
Yeah.
So the coaches, they're coaching. They're treating it like a regular practice. They're not coaching less. It might have been a great experience for him. He was the only quarterback out there for them. That being said, the bottom line is, what is it going to take really to beat the Chiefs this year?
Yeah.
So when you look at the Chiefs schedule, what are you seeing with the Chiefs?
Well, look, we've talked about it a lot. You've got Russell Wilson on your team, so you're in an era. This is the opportunity to try to dethrone the Chiefs. I say if Russell Wilson plays with the Denver Broncos for 10 years, let's just call it a round number, 10 years. I don't think that's going to happen, but that he'd play the Chiefs 20 times over the course of his career. I would say he's going to win about 10 of them. Patrick Mahomes is going to win about 10 of them. I think those two guys are going to split a lot of football games. So the question is, how do you find a way to beat the Chiefs? Well, you know what? The way things stack up this year, hey, you've got a great opportunity this year to win the AFC West. You really do. And you don't even necessarily have to sweep the Chiefs in order to do it. You know, the Chiefs have got maybe the toughest schedule in the NFL. Matter of fact, in their first eight games, they're setting a record for the playing the most teams that finished last year at 500 or above to begin the season. So they start their season out, and, you know, they face the Cardinals early in the year. Well, Cardinals are always good early in the year. Kyler Murray is healthy, and they haven't gotten banged up, and so that's a tough opponent early in the year.
You know, so are those listeners in Aurora. Thanks for making 104.3 the Fan part of your day. They're good all year, too.
But check this out. Before the, we play the Chiefs late in the season, mm-hmm. but before the Chiefs even get to their bye week, listen to their schedule. They got Arizona to open up, and that's at Arizona.
Tough.
That's at home. That's at home. But then they go on the road to Los Angeles to play the Chargers. Okay.
Okay.
That's a tough second game
Absolutely.
Of the season. Anything could happen in week two. And by the way, the Chiefs, historically, they don't start the season out very well.
Yep.
So it add into the fact that it's a tough schedule. Well, they might be struggling this year. So you got Cardinals. Then you go Chargers. Week three, you go to Indianapolis. There you go. That's going to be a good team. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying Matt Ryan's going to be rolling. I got that as a loss for the Broncos. The Colts could certainly upset the Chiefs in week three. Week four, guess where who they got to play?
Buffalo?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay.
Buffalo's coming.
All
Buffalo's
right.
coming. That's
right.
on the horizon. So first 4 weeks, they go Cardinals, Chargers, Colts, Tampa Bay. Then they play the Raiders, so they've got two AFC West opponents early mm-hmm. in the season. But then they've got Buffalo right after the Raiders.
Ooh, they start tough.
Yeah, and then after Buffalo, they've got San Francisco, another really good football team. That's all before their bye week. So, you know, I honestly think this is a really weird year. Normally, it's all about the AFC West. You got to dominate the AFC West. You got to dominate those opponents. Hey, I think for the most part, these teams, anybody can beat anybody in the AFC West. Who knows how it's all going to shake loose?
Mm-hmm.
More or less, most teams are going to split. Maybe the Chiefs dominate somebody. Maybe somebody sweeps somebody else. But I think it's going to be about 500 down the middle for the majority of the AFC West. If the Broncos can just survive the non-AFC West games mm-hmm. and get to the AFC West and feel like, hey, we handled our business outside of the AFC West, this might be a very unique year in which what happens outside of the AFC West might actually impact your playoffs more than what happens inside of the AFC West, because I truly do believe teams are going to go Splitsville in the AFC West.
Is this the year? Against the Chiefs.
It's the best opportunity you've had, and it's not even close.
Obviously,
that starts with Russell Wilson. So you finally got the quarterback. But, you know, the Chiefs, they lost a few bodies. They probably had the best draft of anybody in the AFC West.
It's got to be
the worst offseason.
Tyler, it's got to be the year.
Has to be the year.
It's got to be the year.
And everybody in the AFC West is going to be looking at it the exact same way. The Chargers and the Raiders, they're going to have a lot to say about it. If either one of those teams, we just need either the Chargers or the Raiders to upset the Chiefs in the early part of the season, and then the Broncos, they're going to be in great shape.
Our own James Merrilott is telling us not to do something.
What's that?
I'll tell you what it is coming up next.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and Dina on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
You know, James Merrilott's column at DenverFan.com is great because one of the things I get it after all these years, okay, so I'm fine. Because you realize every game in the NFL is a must-win game.
Correct.
Every game matters.
Yeah.
There's
even you came around last year, by the way. Even you came up with a couple must-win games.
I'm just going to agree with anybody who says it's a must-win game because the argument against it just will never fly. So I'm just going to say every game's a must-win game. I'm just going to play it like that.
Hey, you can play it that way, act like you didn't come around, but you said it yourself last year. You said it yourself.
I'm Green Day when I come around. So essentially what I'm reading with James is our column. Let's see if I can quote it. If the Broncos don't start the season 4-1, it'll be a disappointment. And given how their season ends with six caliber teams in the final six games, they can't afford any ramp up time. They have to hit the ground running. You ready? In week one.
Well, this is funny because I had James filled in for you last week. You know, one of our biggest arguments, you know what that was about? The Seattle game, week one. James has got the Broncos losing that game. Ironically enough, with this article and everything, he's got the Broncos losing it. Look, that's realistic.
Oh, he had fun with that. Because Drew Lock.
Why do you think he's got the Broncos losing that game?
Did I just say it?
Yes, because he's actively rooting against the Denver Broncos because of Drew Lock. Okay. There's no question about it. He won't admit it. He denies it.
You know what's funny with me? Because I essentially do agree with James that Drew Lock wasn't treated right. He should have been the starter from the get-go and all that. I just don't know why he's hanging on to it.
Well, it's just so funny because Mr. Teflon, everybody's Teflon except for Drew Lock to James Merrilott. But anyways, the point of the article is that he feels like, and I've done this many, many times, maybe he's talking to me, But all the people that out there that are saying, you know, it took Peyton Manning some time. Like, don't think that Russell Wilson is going to click in the first month of the season.
Right.
It took Peyton some time. And then, yeah, they went on an incredible tear that year. But they started out the season 2-3. They ended up 13-3 on the year. So an insanely successful season, but a rough first start. And, you know, James's point is that Peyton Manning, he was coming off injury. And it wasn't that he needed time to click on a new team. He was coming off injury. Russell Wilson's not. Actually, that's not entirely true. Russell is coming off of an injury, a little bit different injury. It certainly wasn't career-threatening like Peyton Manning's. But he is coming off of an injury last year. But the thing that James is not accounting for in this is the coach. Look, I know John Fox got fired. I get it. He wasn't the man at the end of the day. Was John Fox a pretty good coach?
Oh, I thought he was a great coach.
Was he an experienced coach?
Yes.
Was it his first day on the job?
No, he took a team to the Super Bowl.
Did he have a formula that he knew what his formula was? Yeah, I mean, the answer to all those things is yes. Mm-hmm. Like, he had experience. He was a veteran coach. He'd been around the block. The thing that James is totally discounting is Nathaniel Hackett. He thinks that Russell Wilson's just going to walk in here day one and they're going to be dominating because it's supposed to be Russell Wilson and he's in his prime. Hey, you are totally discounting football. Of all the sports, the coach makes a huge impact on the wins or losses.
Mm-hmm.
A coach can win or lose a football game. Mm-hmm. That can't happen. And unfortunately, Nathaniel Hackett, he probably will lose a game or two this year because of dumb young mistakes. And that's not a knock on him. It's just what's going to happen with a first-time head coach. So, look, I mean, I get it. James is all about expectations. But if you think Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson are beginning clicking in week one, you're crazy. And by the way, James, how do you have the Broncos losing to Seattle when you write an article like this?
I don't. Well, it's an if thing. It's like they got to win. They got this. Okay, let's have some fun here. Who did Peyton Manning? And a lot of people will get this, but let's just have some fun. Who did the Broncos and Peyton Manning play in Peyton Manning's first game ever with the Broncos, regular season?
Oh, I have no clue. I was playing in the NFL. I wasn't tracking the Broncos at that point in time.
Any clue who Peyton Manning beat his first game ever or played against?
Well, did something stand out about it? I mean,
no.
Okay.
Nothing stands out about it.
I literally have no clue.
I had to look it up.
Okay.
I know certain games that season for very specific reasons. I was at the San Diego game, and that really was the turning point game when they went 3-3 on Monday Night Football. That was Stokely made that great catch in the corner. Sticky Fingers had a couple of picks. I mean, that one stands out. I don't remember one detail from the 31-19 win over the Steelers. That was Peyton Manning's debut. I don't remember anything from it.
Mm.
They lost against Atlanta. I remember that game because they were terrible in that game. And Peyton in particular was bad, but then they made a nice little comeback before they actually were rallying. And that was kind of like, oh, maybe he's not that good. They lost to Houston. Then they beat Oakland. Don't remember any of those games. And lost to New England. I don't remember that game. 31-21. It really felt like the entire season started with that Monday night game against the Chargers. And then from there, they went on a roll. So, James, no offense here. Or Hot Take Tuesday, whatever we want to do. Listen, I want them to win against the Seahawks. See, I'm going to do it. It's not a must-win game. It's okay. Things will get better with Coach Hackett and Russell Wilson. You got to give them some time to get gelling. There's 17 games in the season.
Of course you are right. I'm not even going to try to argue that it's a literal must-win game by definition. But it is a little bit different because it's Seattle. It does feel like a must-win game because of the trade. Feels like for the Seahawks, for the Broncos, there's just so much riding on that. You want the momentum, feeling like you won the trade. Whoever wins that game, they're going to feel like they were justified in the trade, right? So, I mean, it's not a must-win game. It's just more mind games that is going on with that Seattle game.
To me, okay. I mean, whatever you want to take from that, I don't know what to say. It's a non-conference roadie. You know, it's just like, it's whatever. But to see James, I can't believe. What are we, May 17th? And in print at DenverFan.com, they have to hit the ground running in week one. We actually have a published column about week one being a must-win game. This really happened on May 17th?
You know what? I just got to say this, D-Mac. I'm as fired up as anybody about Russell Wilson. I'm fired up about having Russell Wilson. But you can't compare Russell Wilson to Peyton Manning in any category. You can't do that. Peyton Manning, I get it. He was coming off injury, and you wondered whether he was going to be okay. It turned out he was better than he ever was. But he was Peyton Manning. You were talking about the number one or the number two quarterback in the NFL. Russell Wilson's not in the top five right now. So you can't compare anything of Peyton Manning to Russell Wilson. It's just not the same.
Well, that's what he's saying. That's the thing of the call. I guess I'm just hung up. That is what James actually wrote. So you actually agree with James. I just got stuck on the whole week one's a must-win game thing. I'm just rolling my eyes at week one's a must-win. Listen, I'm here for it. And I'm not going to poo-poo any of the games on the schedule. And you already bought your tickets for Seattle.
I did.
I want to be up there. We all want to be there. Who doesn't want to be at that game? Are you kidding me? Let's go. It can't come here soon enough. So... But what if they lose? Is the season over?
For the record, lose? I'm not calling that game a must-win game. That's a mind game deal. About the trade. It's a very temporary feeling that will fade away. It will be irrelevant in 6 weeks' time. But for that week, it's a huge deal.
Hot Take Tuesday. Let's get it going. 303-713-1043. It's Ryan O'Reilly back again. It's the Blues. It's round two, game one. The schedule for the Broncos. Daniel Bard, maybe he should go back to an office job with the Diamondbacks. I don't know. That's not working out well. 303-713-1043, Hot Take Tuesday next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
All right, Hot Take Tuesday, let it rip. As long as it lives somewhere in the reality. Little tool.
Yes.
Yeah, buddy. Know that. Who needs to hear Maynard sing, right? It's so much better without Maynard singing.
Right. KJ, I mean, why do you do this to yourself? Like, you know what's going to happen. We all know what's going to happen. I don't know why you do it to yourself. He's going to chew out every single time.
Yeah, I mean, why would I want to sing along to Maynard and Tool? I mean, you don't want to hear me do that, right? No, it's fun to hear me complain about it, though.
Right,
it?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. It's always fun to hear me complain about it. It's great
for the on-air product every single time.
It's fantastic.
Every single time.
Learn to swim.
You know, D-Mac, like when you're on social media, if you see something you disagree with, it is not a requirement that you have to post a rebuttal, right? You can just view it. You can move on. When we come out of break and the song doesn't have the actual lyrics, you can, it is a possibility to just hear it and move on.
AJ knows this is about the third or perhaps fourth time today. So we know, we just, little D-Mac has his little breaking points. Mm. That's all. We all know.
Okay.
It's all so fun to play along.
So I guess what you're saying is that no, that is not a possibility.
That gotta be me. We have a caller for Hot Take Tuesday?
We do. I wonder if they're going to yell at one of us.
All right.
Yell at D-Back. Just don't yell at me.
David, you're on Hot Take Tuesday. What do you got there, David?
Hey, guys. So I just want to give you guys a little piece of my mind here on the week one heater. And you're darn right. It is a heater, guys. You're telling me we don't go into Seattle against Drew Lock, and that's not a must win. And I'm going to tell you guys that you are darn wrong. Thank you guys so much.
I love it, David. I love it.
I mean, what, I agree with what he's saying, more or less. I mean, it's a huge game just because of what's on. There's a reason why that's the first game for the Denver Broncos. They couldn't have made that a primetime game if it was week six or week seven. Why is that, D-Mac? Why would that game not have been relevant in week six or week seven in primetime? I'm testing you.
Because we're in London or something? Or?
No, well, no. I mean, you're overthinking it because the Seahawks are going to suck by week six or week seven.
Oh, right. They're throwing the season.
So by the time, right, by the time you get to week five, you're week six, week seven, it's not a relevant matchup. And Russell Wilson, you're accustomed to seeing him in a Denver Broncos jersey. There's nothing that's going to be that unusual about it. But when it's week one, when it's the first game that Russell Wilson has ever played as a Denver Bronco back in his old stadium, that has got drama written all over it. So for all those reasons, I do understand it feels like you got to win this just for the internal good feelings of feeling like, man, that was what a great trade that was. If Drew Lock in particular, if Drew Lock were to be starting for the Seahawks and he beats the Denver Broncos, that doesn't mean the Broncos can't go to the playoffs. It doesn't mean that the Broncos aren't going to click later in the year, but that's going to be a really bad vibe in the early parts of the year.
By the way, and I apologize for just not knowing the schedule off the top of my head. I'm guessing there's only one Monday night game. Not two. We're not the back end of a Monday night game, are we?
So week one, there's one. Week two, there's two.
It's, but week one, there's one.
Right, right.
Delicious.
Yeah. So I mean, we're prime time, baby.
We don't get Sergio Dib with Rex Ryan.
No,
we don't get that. We get the A team.
Yeah.
Now that's definitely done on purpose, right there.
Here's a fun one. I just thought about this right now. We've got a lot of prime time games. Let's see how many of these we think are going to be a win or a loss. So what the schedule makers are telling you is that the Denver Broncos are relevant. They are going to, number one, be a good football team. Number two, they're relevant. Mm-hmm. All of America is going to be interested in seeing them, right? All right, well, how are we going to look? So first primetime games against Seattle. You and I both got that one as a win.
Yeah.
Second primetime game is at home against the San Francisco 49ers. What did you have that one as?
I got that as a win.
I got that as an L, so I'm 1-1 in prime time.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got the Thursday night football game at home against Indianapolis.
Well, I have it as a win. You have it as a loss.
I do. Now, when I first made that prediction, I did not realize it was Thursday night football, and that does sway me. I'm going to stick with the loss for now, and I'm going to reserve the right to change my mind, of course.
Okay.
But I think that's going to be a really good football team. So I got the Broncos 1-2 in their first three primetime games. Then you've got the – oh, wait, I thought we had five. Oh, okay. Oh, we've got the Chargers. The next week at 5:15. That must be a double? That's weird. We got the Chargers the next week in L.A., I think that could go either way. I'll give that a W. Mm-hmm. So 2-2. And then you've got Kansas City. I think they should be 2-3 in their primetime games, which that in year one for Russell Wilson, that's good enough. I mean, you can't get embarrassed in the primetime games. I don't think they're going to sweep them by any means,
right.
But you know, if you win about half of them, that keeps you relevant in the national story.
On the text line, Hot Take Tuesday, Hot Take, what does DMAC have against Maynard? I love Maynard.
That texter doesn't understand. That texter doesn't understand the wormhole that you're opening up right
now.
That texter does not like KJ. If that texter liked KJ, they would just move on. They wouldn't allow this subject to continue to be brought up over and over because KJ is getting a beatdown from DMAC right now.
Look at Joe Burrow on TV. He looks like a sober Jim Brewer. He looks so young. Can you believe he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL?
Yes.
I can too.
Yes, I can.
Here's our guy, Goozy. Hot take. Greg Dulcich will have a better rookie season than Noah Fant. And I have Noah Fant's numbers ready to roll right here.
Oh, wow. Okay, I do not know the specifics, but I do know that Noah Fant, he actually had a good rookie year.
Looking right at it.
I'm trying to think if I can guess.
He had a much better second year than rookie year, but okay.
And the big
you
want to
take some guesses? All right, let me do some guesses for you about Noah Fant. Total catches.
Oh wow! All right, just tell me. I don't know.
Let's play over under.
Okay. All right. I like that.
Over under 38.
I don't want to totally embarrass myself. You're giving me a 50-50 chance here. I like that. Okay.
Over under 38.
Under.
Over 40.
Okay.
Total yards over under 550.
Wow, 38 or 40 catches for, I'm going to go under.
Over, 562.
Wow, what was the average?
Average was 14-1.
That's what stood out the most about his rookie year.
Yeah.
That's why when we talked about it, we're like, oh my God, look at yards per catch. We got to get him the ball more. He's a first round pick. We got to get it done. Touchdowns, over under 5.
I don't feel like he had a lot of touchdowns. I'm taking under all the way
so
far.
Correct.
But he didn't have a lot of touchdowns.
3 touchdowns.
Okay.
And then he had the long of 75, which I think we all remember that,
mm-hmm.
which was against the Texans, right, with
Drew
Lock.
Yep.
And let's keep it real. A little bit lucky on that particular play. It was awesome.
But
we'll
he had wheels.
It.
But he had wheels.
But he had wheels, and he had incredible potential. So
that's a good year, though, D-Mac.
Okay.
I know that we thought for a first-rounder it wasn't a great year. That's a productive season for an NFL tight end.
14.1 yards per catch is ridiculous. He had 10.9 and then 9.9 the years after. So his impact per catch was actually higher in his rookie year than any other time. Will Dulcich have a better year than Noah Fant?
Well, Greg Dulcich in college, I know he averaged over 17. I don't remember the specific, but it was like 17.5, 17.8, something like that, right in that ballpark. No, he won't have a better year.
All right,
statistically, he will not have a better year than Noah Fant, but it might feel better because Noah Fant also had the moments where he didn't lean his shoulder down and pick up the first down when he catches it with 1 yard to go. He would try to flip the field against the Raiders, right? I think Greg Dulcich isn't going to have those moments that stand out like, why'd you do that? It might feel better.
Right.
But statistically, it won't be as strong as Noah Fant.
You know, like, it feels like Javonte Williams had a much better year than Melvin Gordon. But when you look at the numbers, it was practically identical. But it feels like Javonte Williams was better.
Yeah, it was all about the broken tackles for Javonte.
By the way, what numbers for a tight end really matter in terms of evaluating if it's a better season?
Touchdowns matter to me.
Because
red zone, your tight end should always be a good weapon down there. If you're a receiving tight end, touchdowns matter a lot. And then I would say the average per catch is probably the second most important stat there.
Okay, with a minimum amount of catches, right?
I mean,
you got to have 30 catches?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, two
per game at least.
Noah Fant did have rushing yards.
Oh, the very first, was it negative?
Over or under -7 in his rookie year for rushing yards?
Over.
Right, -12.
Ah!
All right,
first play of the season.
Our guy, Troy Wright, had them all fooled. We fooled them.
We started
two running backs, and
nobody saw the tight end sweep coming.
Nobody saw it. All right, our guy, Troy Rank, joining us next.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
I can't. But on this song, I only sing the rap. No, I can't. I don't know the rap. I wish I did.
I'd be impressed if you did it.
Oh, I would too. I'd be amazed. But I like it. Turn it, let it breathe a little.
TLC, baby.
See that? See that right there?
No. A little shoulder wiggle.
Well, that's the dance. It's the waterfall dance.
Yeah.
I'll see what the waterfalls happen on the Blues tonight. Dude, I can't believe you're not going to the game.
Little bit of inside joke there. Okay. I see what you're doing there.
Sorry, guys. Scott Masters out there. Getting here early for work today. Scott Masters getting here early to get ready for that Avalanche pregame show with Mike Evans. Evans will roll through the door like 6:01.
Right.
But Scott Masters is here early. He's getting ready.
Prep work in, hanging out with Andrew Mason down there in the fan cave.
How great is that? Just Mace right there.
Man.
Like, Mace is just right there? Let's talk to Mace?
You know, I mean, we've got some good riders in the building, but Andrew Mason, that's a presence.
Are you kidding me? I just rolled the Dulcich Fant thing past Mace, and he was like, he's that 14-1, it cannot be ignored by Noah Fant. The impact of averaging 14.1?
Right.
How does Dulcich top that?
Well,
he
probably doesn't, but here's the thing. The expectations are going to be so much lower for Greg Dulcich. I mean, the last I mean, you're a third round selection. You're not a first round pick. No offense, if you looked at those stats, that, I'm telling you, that's a reasonable rookie year for any tight end. But as a first rounder, you just expected it, you wanted it to be more than that. It's going to be hard for Greg Dulcich to do better than that. But your expectations are just like, hey, be relatively good, be a starter, and people are going to be happy with him.
I got a challenge for Troy Rank.
Okay.
Because he is a wordsmith. He is a fish on a bicycle. I mean, we should really...
Wait, wouldn't that be the opposite?
I'm saying he uses the expression fish on a bicycle.
But wouldn't that mean like he's bad at it?
No, no, no.
When you say he's a wordsmith.
I was not using that to compare him. I was just using one of his expressions with no relatable value to anything.
Okay, so you did it wrong, right?
Yeah, right. I just said that's one of my favorite things he says, fish on a bicycle.
Okay.
I don't know what it means. It's Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. All right, I have a challenge for you, Troy. You ready? Because you are a wordsmith. You are brilliantly talented as a wordsmith. You ready for this?
Yeah, sure.
Are you at your son's baseball game in Southern California right now?
I am.
How are they doing?
They won yesterday, and now we're tied at one in the bottom of the fourth.
Oh!
They're two outs.
Is Brady coming up to the plate?
Not yet. He's on deck.
You got to give us a little play-by-play when he steps to the plate, okay?
Get through. We lined out to end it.
So
he won't be coming up. Brady didn't, the leadoff hitter just lined out.
That's making a really long interview.
By the way, You just heard one of the great mutterings under your breath by dads in the stands of baseball.
Through.
The get through one.
Yeah.
Get through. Okay. All right. Troy, this is going to be tough for you because you're obviously focused. The Blues are to the Avalanche as what is to what?
I would say like a fly on the windshield. They're annoying.
Fly
on the windshield.
Wow. So I guess that means you're expecting an outright dominating performance again from that.
I just expect them to win. Now, it could go six games, but I think this series, Tyler, I think you and I have agreed, it should be an annoyance for a team as talented as the Avs.
They do.
But the Blues are deep and can really score. They've got to keep them off the power play because, man, they have eight guys with like 20 goals.
Nine.
Well,
I was just
going to bring that up. I actually, there's a part of me right now that I'm like, you know what? I feel like against Nashville, everybody was trying to convince themselves to be worried, and you didn't really have a reason to. And right now, everybody's talking about the Blues like, hey, we're just going to roll over these guys. I don't know. Oh, no. It makes me nervous. Like, that is an offensive firepower. They got as much firepower as anybody in the league.
And you got a goalie who won a cup. Like, that matters this time of year. So they need Darcy. It looks like, and D-Mac's out there, but it looks like he's healthy, right? He should be fine because you're going to have to steal a game in this series with your goalie where you win 2-1 and you get outshot. Like, they need that kind of game. 1 point in this series, and that's why Kemper being back and it looks like healthy, that's going to be huge. But they still should win. Like, it's no excuses. I don't want to hear anything about anything. You've had your rested, you're set, your guys are there, you're at home where you dominate. What are they, like 54-6-5 in like their last 65 home games? Mm-hmm. Go out and make a statement tonight, just like you did with the Predators in game one. It won't be that kind of score, but, you know, try to win 4-2, you know, 5-2 type game. Make a statement.
Okay, so you're expecting the Avs to win in 5? I guess that's what I'm hearing from you.
Six.
Six?
I think, I have it in 6. But I don't know that the games are all going to be competitive. Like, I just think there's going to be moments. Like, the Avs may lose a clunker where they lose 5-1 because St. Louis can really score.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have Avs in 6.
Well, that means the Avs would win on the road in St. Louis, which is always a wild one when you beat another team down on their home ice. But okay. All right. Well, we'll go with you on that. What is your biggest takeaway from the rookie mini camp? Well, you were there. You were asking questions left and right. What was your biggest takeaway there, Troy?
Well, number one, Greg Dulcich is faster in person than I thought. Like, he definitely looks the part of a guy who could come in and compete. I don't know what that means, but... And he's a willing blocker. He's going to have to become a functional one. But I was impressed with Dulcich because Pac-12, with all due respect to Tyler, I mean, Pac-12 defense haven't exactly been great. And you just wonder, you know, what was – because I saw him play multiple times, obviously. He impressed me. Bonito, for me, is going to be a guy you can put in right away in obvious pass rush situations. I don't know about setting the edge. But and then Montreal, Washington, the returner, you and I talked about it, D-Mac, he's so tiny, but he's shifty. Like, can he keep from getting broken in half and be their punt returner? Because I'm so intrigued by it. But I got to see it at the NFL level because I don't know a Broncos player I covered. I didn't cover Trendon Holliday. He was built differently. But there haven't been many guys built like Montrell Washington in the NFL over the last decade. But I love his potential.
All right, so what's going on now for the Broncos? Are they back to trash can football? What's going on this week?
Yeah, it's phase two, like the Boca Vista, the condos, phase two, putting the garages in now. The vets and the rookies mix back in together, and they just start incorporating a little more stuff. The big one is obviously June 13th to the 15th, that mandatory mini camp. Mm-hmm. But Tyler, and you've lived this, I do think the energy has been even more consistent than I expected. And I said this when Hackett was hired. I love that he's leaned in to, you know, innovation and energy and coaches who teach and try. And I've seen that. I've really seen now, again, what that looks like on a Sunday when the lights run, I don't know. But even in OTAs, I love the energy. And to have Russell Wilson running around, I've said that, setting an examples and drills, it's been refreshing. And it really, his personality meshes so well with what Hackett's trying to create in terms of a culture.
The Blues are to the Avs as a fly is to a windshield. Annoying. I love it, Troy. You are a wordsmith. We wish the best for Westmont. Let's get it done. Brady Rank, come on now.
Nice, D-Mac.
Let's go.
Well, he tripled earlier, D-Mac. He tripled and scored.
Are you kidding? Are you kidding me? Is what I'm talking about.
Westmont,
so last
legend.
Year during this tournament, I talked to Tyler, and that the day I talked to Tyler, Brady went 3-for-5 with a home run.
Whoa!
Hey, if you need me to do a podcast tonight, I'm happy to. Just hit me up, man.
Yeah, Tyler was the good luck charm that day.
They're gonna get to the
D-Mac, you know, my heart and prayers are to you, man, and your family.
Thank you, brother.
I feel for you, brother. I really do.
Thank you.
You're in my
it.
Thoughts.
All right, my man. Thank you, Troy. We'll talk to you soon. Go Westmont. Yeah. Denver 7 Broncos insider Troy Rank on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. He's made a lot of trips out there to Montecito, a little south of Santa Barbara.
It's a good dad.
It's not the worst place in the world for your kid to go to school.
No.
Santa Barbara area.
That's a fun little college. It's beautiful, man.
Not the cheapest place.
No. So, I'm sure.
Keep watching Channel 7, everybody.
listen to the podcast, right?
But his son Brady is just, oh my gosh, he's doing so, so great. Rocky's got a problem, though. We'll get to the Avs and get fired up for them in a second. But my heart was breaking there for Daniel Bard. Like, what is going on there?
Two rough outings in a row. Two opportunities to go out there and seal the deal, get the win. Two opportunities in a row that he blew it. Avs. I'm so stuck on the Avs right now. Usually I do that with the Broncos, D-Mac. Now I'm doing it with Avalanche. Rockies go out there in the ninth inning, and they got the lead. And, you know, Josh Bard. That's Cherry Creek legend.
That is.
That's right, buddy. He gives up the homer to, of all people, Yastrzemski.
And when I saw that name, I
seriously thought to myself, I can't be. That can't be related, is
right,
it?
Right,
that can't
right.
be related to the Red Sox.
But then when you take a step back,
then I'm like, wait, that name is pretty unique.
Right. Like, how could it not be related?
Right, yeah.
How many Yastrzemskis do you find walking around the earth? Like when Philippe Forsberg was playing for the Predators, Forsberg is actually a pretty common name in Sweden. Where is Yastrzemski a common name?
Yeah,
it's his grandson.
His grandson. That's a fun little fact. Rockies have now lost 11 straight games to the Giants. Sensatella got pulled after the second. Actually went out there to start the third, but couldn't get through the war. What happened in the third? What happened in the third? He started the inning, right? But then back got tightened up on him, I think, and end up. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he slept in a bad hotel with Chris Bryant, is he gonna be okay? Chris
they gotta
Bryant?
Upgrade those mattresses for those Rockies, man.
What, man.
I mean, the backs—they're tightening up out there.
How many days has Chris Bryant missed now?
I don't know.
All right, there was a scary moment though, and I'm reading from our own Scrappy Will Peterson at DenverFan.com. So I'm watching the game late in the game, and it's the ninth inning before Yastrzemski, you know, did what he did. There's a foul ball. It hit Kelsey Wingert of AT&T Sportsnet. She's in that camera well. It hit her in the head.
Oh, no.
And I talked to some people behind the scenes, and she's doing good. And they put out a statement that she's doing all right after evaluation and all that. But it was a...
That's scary.
Oh, dude. So on the broadcast, Drew was on with Jeff Hewson, and the foul ball goes, and Drew instinctively goes, Kelsey, are you okay?
Of course.
Because they have a ongoing back and forth thing, and there was no response. And then they slowed the game down. Like everybody paused for a second, and then what was really terrifying is that a paramedic came from behind home plate, because I guess that's the quickest way inside of the tunnel to actually get to that camera well spot. Okay. Is to come from behind, open the gate during the game from behind home plate to go take care of Kelsey. And I'm so happy to as I'm reading here, and that everything seems to be okay. Incredibly, this is the second time this has happened to her.
Happened
to her when she was covering the Braves as well.
Wow, that's scary. I mean, baseball's had some really terrifying moments. I mean, they end up putting now they've got the nets. They go the whole length of the field down the sidelines there. Obviously, they've had some really bad moments over the years, but that's terrifying when that stuff happens. So glad to hear she's okay.
I am too. So I'm just letting you know, if you didn't pick it up, that she's doing all right, and that's what the report is. And hey, awesome. Glad to hear it. Nothing you can do in that situation. I don't know if they're thinking about putting up screens in that area. I think the players are, bad things can happen there. I like the screens, ultimately. I know it's things for viewing purposes and all that. I mean, I get it. But there were just way too many incidents.
Oh, it's dangerous.
Baseball.
I mean, it's flat out dangerous. And unfortunately, people literally died. And it's there's been really terrifying moments. It does kind of suck. I'm not going to lie. When you're down all the way down the third base line and you've got that net that's still in the way, it's just a no-brainer, though. It's not even an option at this point. You got to have it.
So, Kelsey, she's new to town. We're glad you're here, and we're glad you're okay, and we were thinking about you, and I'm happy to report that everything seems to be okay. So, at least, good. Weird,
are things okay
weird
for
incidents.
The Rockies, though?
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.